Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
G.I. Joe Sigma 6, code name for a highly trained special mission force. Its objective, stop Cobra, stop Cobra.
Sigma 6, be a hero. G.I. Joe will turn the tide.
Be a hero.
Sigma 6 is on your side.
Be a hero.
Be the best of the best.
Whenever there's a mission, G.I. Joe is there.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. I don't know what's happening. I looked at the rundown today, and we are talking about G.I. Joe Sigma 6. What are the odds? This is Knowing is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
We're also starting the show on time as opposed to starting like a half hour late and then just like jawing for an hour and then eventually getting around to starting the podcast. So
I mean, there are some glory days when we actually start slightly early, but you two shitbags make those rare.
Oh, I'm sorry. Was I not ready like a half hour early today?
You were, but when Chan is ready a half hour early, you're not ready.
So, yeah, that's because we work this out ahead of time, Gina, to mess with you.
There's one person on this podcast that is consistently ready from 5 p.m. onward.
Coincidentally, the same one that does not have a child living with them.
But also, who works six jobs. So I think it evens out.
The important thing here is that I'm the Rutger Hauer. Ray is the Michelle Pfeiffer, which makes you, Gina, the Matthew Broderick of this whole Lady Hawk situation.
I'll take it.
Oh, I didn't know where we were going with that, but Lady Hawk, that's a heck of a movie. Actually, people now think it's bad.
What? Why?
I don't know.
You're just talking about your one coworker.
No, I'm not talking. Gina actually found out about an actual coworker of mine. That's different.
Not the 24-year-old guy who's 14, not even 24.
He was like 22. He's a college student. I just knew him.
Well, I don't like him.
I mean, that's fine. We have an episode of. Here's the deal, guys. I was really worried because we have this plus three more episodes. So four more Sigma 6 episodes to go in all of G.I. Joe Sigma 6. And last week's was Eclipse Show. And I remember the end of Deke Era G.I. Joe ending with two Eclipse shows in a row to whimper out. And I was really worried we were going to end with five clip shows of G.I. Joe Sigma 6. Thankfully, we did not.
I mean, is what we got really much better?
It definitely feels like filler. Like, we had a couple scripts left over that weren't good enough to, you know, like first pass. We'll just throw it in because we need the extra material.
I took one note in this entire episode and the rest is just
is this a bad time to say I kind of enjoyed this episode.
I enjoyed the 30 seconds that were actually a TV show. The rest of it was just long, like their usual sort of like long shots of things. Oh wait, I did forget all the Native American advice and words of wisdom we get. All right, there's like two minutes of content in here.
Look, 2 minutes of content and about 18 minutes of battle vision, and we have this. I like this episode. I thought this episode had at least some thematic stuff going on. I like seeing high tech and spirit being elevated to being what the episode is about. And I thought there was actually some messaging in there. Now, you know, how effective the messaging is, at least they tried to say something here.
Why are they all of a sudden sticking messaging in this show? That's not what this show is. No. This show is a 22-minute commercial for toys.
Yes.
Not like the old G.I. Joes, which were also, you could make the argument, commercials for toys, but had plots that had like a beginning, middle, and end with some meat in there.
There was soul to those shows.
This is like a pan that once had meat in it and you've already rinsed it and you've like scraped off most of the bits. So now it's just a little residue of meat.
Meat residue?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't understand.
There's no meat here. There's no meat to it.
I thought there was a little bit of meat. It was like a chicken wing meat.
No.
I got one boneless wing. And there was just
because you have one indigenous character spewing weird, stereotypical platitudes. Like, he might as well, the entire episode, have been standing there looking around at the scenery, and one tear comes down his out of his eye.
That's messaging.
What happened here?
Listen, if this had a story, then four friends going to dinner and each reading their fortune cookie is also a story. That's essentially what this was.
Wait, what?
Not as authentic.
I guess to white guys, they're like, "Wow, so wise. Look at this look at this character who was drawn with a different colored crayon. I'm gonna really listen to what he said."
I mean, you're saying outrageous things right now. How dare you?
Outrageous and true.
This episode opens, cold open. Duke and Scarlet are being chased. We pan out to reveal they're being chased by gigantic robots.
Wait,
Duke
can
gets
we,
hit.
I clearly forgot what happened on the previous episode since it's been, I think, like 4.5 years since we did the last episode.
True. All right, yeah.
The previous episode was a clip show, so you didn't miss anything.
Oh, okay.
There was
so
nothing
this
that led into this.
Because my one note that I took was, wow, they really throw you right into this episode. I thought that something had happened, and then they were like, oh, crap, we got to run. But no, they
that,
just
Gina?
Start out running.
They're trying to do something here.
No.
They started you in the middle
no.
of the action. That's good writing.
No, in fact, that's avoiding more of the story.
What? Starting you in the middle of the action instead of taking time to set something up, that's the pinnacle of good writing, isn't it?
But that's because there's no setup and there's just nothing here.
The action.
They're being chased by giant robots. What more do you need?
Thank you. Oh, I don't know why the giant robot. Who cares? It's Cobra. There's
giant
robots.
You can do that. You can start off with this as long as then there is something more in the episode. You can't start off in the middle of the action and then just be like, and episode's done.
Look, here's the deal. There is some spirit nonsense here. There's some high-tech nonsense here. This is Overkill's story.
Thank
Overkill, you. We've been waiting for him to do some
crazy stuff. You're saying thank you like you already made that point. You were calling this spirit story.
I was about to make that point.
Yeah, right.
This is Chan, thank you. We've been talking for like 20 episodes of this thing. When does Overkill get anything to do at all? And he finally gets his own episode, and I'm told there's nothing in here. I disagree.
I mean, is there a lot of good stuff? Absolutely not. Is there something to hang a hat on? Barely.
Barely. And
this is like you put together a hat stand to hang your hat on from IKEA, and the second that hat hits that hat stand, it collapses.
That is typically the things I build from IKEA. That is how they go. Don't worry about my calyx here behind me. They say to screw it into the wall in case of an earthquake.
They always say that.
I think that's big screw. I don't agree.
I think that's because they know that. That's because they know that they don't build them evenly, and if it falls over, they don't want to be blamed.
I mean,
yeah.
Thing. Even now, certainly when my kid was much younger. I was very concerned that he would start climbing on one of these things and the whole thing would come down crashing on him. And that's, I mean, mainly what that's for. Because how many earthquakes do we really have? Unless you're living in Japan or Chile, like, ain't nobody going to have an earthquake big enough to knock over a bookshelf. right. but a child. And you probably don't want to like do those little IKEA illustrations of like a bookcase on the ground and like pools of blood coming out and like a tiny little shoe.
I would love that.
Never worn. You would, but people, you know, for example, who have children probably would be a little put off by that.
See, this feels weird because, I mean, here's the deal. Here's what I'm going to say about this.
Oh, boy.
Is that we're making good points about how having children affects our time, our sanity, our sleep, our ability to do things and do things on time. But I also don't want to go full J.D. Vance and pretend like Gina's experience is lesser for not having kids. It's just, this is our explanation. Yeah. It feels like we're piling on, and I really don't want to be a part of that.
Oh, no, I absolutely want to pile on. I will.
Okay, no, that's listen, fine. I know both of you have already donated thousands to the J.D. Vance campaign.
I donated $4 million that I got from the Olympics. Just like Simone Biles, apparently.
Listen, first of all, I now follow both Flavor Flav and Snoop Dogg on Twitter, and they are, like, especially Flavor Flav is a freaking delight. I wouldn't have thought that when he was on a dating show and a woman shat on the ground in his house. Wow, he's a delight. Snoop Dogg is just dancing with horses. He doesn't even know the camera's on him. He's just doing dances with horses at the Olympics.
I started following Alana Maher. Have you been watching any of that women's rugby?
I don't think so.
Dude, that shit is dope. And Alana Maher is just well, I mean, she's got a real Gina Carano vibe, so I'm worried that she's going to get
No, that's why you're going to do it.
But also, like, yeah. Female rugby players for it.
Wow, we just found out Chan's kink, everybody.
Hardly. Also, you should have. How long have I been going on about Xena Warrior Princess? You think I'm gonna be like, oh, beefy women like punching each other in the face? No, don't care for that,
guys. The signs were all there the whole time. Yes, I would make a terrible detective. That's what I would think.
Although I hardly think like a woman larger than a size zero is a kink.
Well, that leaves me out.
Yeah. You're
aren't you like a negative two
fatty. And you want nothing to do with, you know.
I don't know how anything works. So we're here in the cold open still. Duke's been hit, and Scarlett has to grab him, shoot her crossbow, and they're hanging off the edge of a cliff when Overkill shows up in spirit. I'm not exactly sure how this works. Like a portrayal of him appears and says,
let's not say shows up in spirit because.
Okay. Well, you know what? That could be right. That could be taken very different in this episode.
And that would be but I guess we found out what race kink is.
He lets
indigenous people getting pegged by robot. It's a real niche genre, but I tell you, man, there's some good stuff.
When you find your community, Chan, it opens up.
I've explored every facet of Pornhub. It's not that niche.
Thank you.
What? Robots pegging indigenous people?
Yeah, I assume it's a whole category.
Yeah, that's fair. Like when you start typing in the letter I and it's like, indigenous people being pegged by robots? We're like, oh, okay. There's all these people out here who are also into my thing. Great.
Oh, my God. Look. Spirit had trouble getting that thing out from under the couch.
Spirit is doing stuck porn now? Man.
I just assume that's how we got.
Why do you think he has Billy around? Good Lord.
Okay, I got comments about Billy. I'll save them to the end. But Overkill shows up to say that the biochip that Duke and Scarlett just took from him was a fake. It was left on purpose. And then we leave with them hanging off a cliff. This is world building. This is implying a story that existed before we got started, and it drops us in the action, and this is phenomenal.
I don't have a problem. Like, the mechanics of this cold-ish open totally works for me. I don't care about Duke or Scarlet, but like, hey, they're running from giant robots. Oh, they're hanging off the edge of a cliff. Here comes Overkill to deliver the like wildly over the top Batman villain exposition into it.
Now, Overkill's a robot, but he is like having the best time of anyone on this show.
Yeah,
like,
I will say he is very much the best part of this episode.
100%. But why is he making so many weird puns?
Every time he monologues, though, it's fantastic because this voice actor is not like, I think some of the other voice actors are like taking this a little too seriously. Like they're like, all right, like let's use our serious voices. Whereas in original G.I. Joe, you got a lot of like, you know, shipwrecks, dumb voice, which was great and things like that. In this one, a lot of them are taking it too seriously. But the guy who plays Overkill is just like,
he's so good.
Yeah, I love it. I want more campy, half human, half robots. What is he again?
He's a full on robot.
Now,
I believe in the original one, he was a cyborg.
Yeah, I thought he had some organic material in there.
I don't think he does anymore. I think they sort of transitioned him into a full robot because he's always like hating on everything organic.
Yeah, but I thought that was like, I mean, that was more interesting. That would be more interesting if he's part organic, right?
Like a Tyrone Bigsby situation?
Like if he's like, yeah, like a little bit of like a self-hating.
I feel like Spirit's coming in here and being like, do you have any organic in you? Like, no! And then Spirit goes, would you like some? And then, you know, the music starts and like,
God damn it.
Let me get
you were going out there and I couldn't stop it.
I can't move.
Yeah. Thank you. Overkill. Reach into that dryer.
What do you mean my mom? Shit.
Oh my God. Call me your stepson. Anyway. The point I'm trying to make is.
What is your point?
I don't have one.
I think we lost it.
Cobra's going to cut the rope and make them fall down a cliff. So Lieutenant Stone takes his time flying in to save them. He says, I'll be right there as they're shooting the rope, cutting the rope. They're in peril. And then he like goes off in another direction and comes back. And I'm like, Stone, you asshole.
To be fair, it took, you know, however long for him to like quip and then finally drop a high tech. And high tech comes down with the mech and lands in the middle of all these bats who just stand there. And he's like, hey, I'm going to knock you off the cliff now. Bam. And then the robot falls off the cliff. Before any of this happened, Scarlet's rope got broken and they were falling. And then we cut to the robot right next to them. They've been falling for 10, 15 seconds. And then all of a sudden the robot just boop right there too. And then here comes Stone just like swooping down. Because that's how the physics work here. And I think Stone knows that. He's like, oh, they've got at least a minute and a half before they hit the bottom of this canyon.
There was like a whole plot about how they thought Stone was the traitor, right?
Correct.
Because like he you know, even if you entered in now where you know he's not the traitor, everything he says seems like vaguely traitory. Like his whole tone here, like as he's like flying to them and she's like, Stone, you son of a bitch. Cause like he almost doesn't get them in time or something. I took a second to be like, oh, wait, is he a traitor? What's going on here? And then I was like, oh,
Gina, I think he's just British.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. He seems like he's a bad guy because of that.
Yeah. Like, I get why you would come to that conclusion. Trust me.
For the Empire? Is he going to destroy Alderaan?
Yeah, that's fair.
Please, Chen, could you please play me? Duke makes a very special joke, very much.
He's made it a million times at this point, right?
I gotta hear this. I gotta hear this line. It's phenomenal.
It's like the 80th time he's made it.
Is it?
Yeah, he's done it in other episodes before, and it's very clearly a show written by old people who just discovered this exists.
Borat discovered it.
I know what you're talking about now. I thought I was looking for some sort of.
Oh, I assume we're talking about the same thing, but maybe I'm wrong.
I assume so.
I was distracted because Gina posted a video of rhythmic gymnastics for some reason.
Yeah, because you were just saying that you were watching something cool on the gymnastics. At the Olympics. And that is like a really freaking cool thing that this chick did.
Okay.
Thought
okay,
we were swapping cool Olympic stories.
Are you? are you being like, oh, look at this, like, 12-year-old girl who's listening to the oldies, like Thriller. Like, how nice.
No, she killed it. Her red. Everyone's like, oh, she's doing Thriller and she wore red and she's fucking killing it. It's great. Take some time afterwards to watch it.
Is wearing red a thing?
Yeah, I think it's like not, it's not, you know, it's considered bold in the Olympics to wear red.
Look, I get judgy around Olympics time and I cast aspersions on all kinds of sports and things that are called sports, but really are not sports.
Like breakdancing?
You know what? Don't know yet. Have not watched it.
It's tomorrow.
I will say that I was excited about skateboarding and it turns out skateboarding is dull as shit.
It was really bad. Yeah, I watched some last night and I was very, it was more interesting when they fell and got like a 2.3 on their run out of 100.
The thing is, we're used to watching skateboarding videos, which is like 999 fails, one success, and then they put the successful one in, and you don't see all the times they fall. So like actually doing a whole run of this without making a mistake, probably super hard.
Yeah, incredibly hard. That's why she's fucking that, and the synchronized swimmers who did the moonwalk underwater. Those were the two highlights of the day. Oh, maybe that was yesterday.
Swimmers either.
What's that? Maybe.
Haven't seen that anyway, either. Are any
can
of those?
I hear this clip. Nobody's here for old Olympic coverage. By the time this actually airs,
are here for old Olympic coverage. What if 300 years from now, the alien species from AI sets down, and all the Olympics footage has been erased, but this podcast survives, and they have to figure out what the Olympics are based on, only on this 2-minute section of me and Chan.
Well, then you know
talking
what?
About the Olympics.
Olympics. It was nice knowing you.
That synchronized swimming thing's fucking dope.
It is, right? That's what I'm telling you.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, this may be a new one. I was.
Hell yeah.
We got into canoe slalom a little
God
bit.
Damn it.
Which is like a weird ass. Like, why would you even?
But yeah,
hey,
I loved that, by the way. Canoe slalom
is
the best.
Get on board with this moonwalking underwater shit, because these ladies are cool as hell.
Check that out. Anyway, I believe you were asking for this.
Gee, this is fun! Not!
Boy, nailed it. Nailed it!
How could you? Yeah, it's perfect.
I loved it. And then High Tech, this is great, because High Tech shows up wearing a battle mech, and he blows out all the bats. And he's having a blast. He doesn't get out in the field very often. And he's just laughing, making jokes, blowing them away, shooting missiles up in the air
because
that
the
just land on all the bats.
Are standing there. They're doing absolutely nothing.
They're doing nothing,
and it's
no.
Been like 15 minutes now that he's landed and he's just talking and jabbering. And they're just like, oh, okay. And they're
you
just
know,
standing
they should have started opponent. Doing the underwater moonwalk.
You know what? I would have
helped.
Lost my mind if they had done
And that. This is when we get a plot point that Bat Trooper Data was used to make his suit. Interesting. I don't know if it goes anywhere in a future episode because it didn't hear. And then Spirit starts getting real weird. He's like, this is not about having fun. This is about saving lives. Like,
dude.
And High Tech's like, yeah, but I can do both.
Yeah, this guy's a buzzkill, man. Like, chill the fuck out, okay?
OG Spirit would never be like that. I'll just
put
it out.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to yuck other people's yum. Just because he doesn't want to make jokes doesn't mean the rest of us can't make jokes.
Exactly.
Right. And Spirit, like, if I remember correctly, Spirit had some runs with Snake, with Shipwreck. And it's a contrast of styles. It's a lot of fun, but I don't remember Spirit ever being like, Shipwreck, stay at the base while I go handle the mission because I don't trust you. Because that's what he does here.
Yeah, he's a real scoldy McScold puss.
Yep.
I don't like the gatekeeping at all. Let the man enjoy his job. Why, you know, please.
It's not like High Tech is tunnel rat. Because then I would understand if Spirit was like, hey, man, fucking focus up, dude. Like, High Tech in general does a good job, is good at his job.
He's very good.
So it doesn't seem like he merits this, like, you know.
Well,
not just say that. Yeah.
They sort of like lay it out like he has a philosophical difference with him, like on like what you're doing is polluting the earth and destroying you know, nature kind of thing. And he's like, man, I'm just making video games. What the fuck?
Yeah. To be fair, I would argue Spirit actually treats Tunnel Rat better than he treats High Tech in this episode. And that blows my mind.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's not about fun.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6!
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Introducing the ultimate warrior. The G.I. Joe Super Trooper. There's only one way to get him. Send 4 Super Trooper certificates and a $1 handling charge. See details on specially marked packages for your Super Trooper. The ultimate warrior.
Nobody beats G.I. Joe. Real American hero.
Whenever there's a mission, Sigma 6 is there.
Sigma 6!
So now we're off on a High Tech and Spirit adventure. And then we do that, remember that sequence that I love so much where they're just like, battle plans, Spirit, we're
just boys.
Titanium bow. And I'm just, I love it. I love it, man. You give me that for like the, make that the whole episode and then it just ends and I'd probably be happy.
I guess. Titanium hatchet seems like a bit much. Laser
you're fighting
crossbow.
Robots, Chan. You're fighting kaiju-sized robots. It's not too much. In fact, you need adamantium at that point. And we cut over to see what Overkill's doing. Overkill still has his one biochip, and that allows him And I'm not sure on the science of this, Chan. I'm going to need some help understanding the science of this.
Sure, sure, sure.
But he has a biochip that allows him to put his body, which is robotic, into the body of another robot, which is exactly what high-tech does already without a biochip.
Oh, he just like upgrades his body. That's all he does. This is why I thought he was like he had been sort of organic.
Well, he sort of puts his body inside a mech's body and then like fuses it together, but not really. But he needs a biochip for that.
The biochip uses plant life? Question mark.
Yeah, but yeah. What's? I guess that's my question. What's organic about this that he needs the biochip?
It's real silly, and they don't.
I'm telling you, I think he's partially organic.
I agree. No, I agree.
Hashtag Gina was right.
I'm gonna look it up.
I believe it's called a psychotron when there's a human brain inside of a robot. And I believe that's what's going on here, but
because it doesn't make any sense otherwise, because even like later on when they're fighting him, he's like, ha ha, I'm a robot now. You can't fight me. And it's like, oh, if you were a full on robot the whole time, then they could have never fought you.
You think,
I mean, fair enough. You guys talk amongst yourselves. I'm watching. Okay. So original Overkill from Deek era was in fact a cyborg. He's very clearly part organic. And has robot body, and he's like Luke Skywalker underwater in the tank that heals his hand, right? Mm-hmm. That is very clearly what's going on here. As we fast forward to more Deke era, he's out and walking around, but he's wearing a suit. So I guess he is still part organic in Deke. Mm-hmm. But then, okay, but wait a minute. No, because
you're just trying to prove me wrong, but you know I'm right.
No, I think you might be right. But the thing is, I think the character has evolved. We now have Valor versus Venom, where he was doing his big thing to turn people into bioorganics.
It's right in the name.
He's very clearly, he's even more clearly organic in Valor versus Venom with machine parts. Oh my gosh. And then I click on the wrong spot in the video and it disappears. There's a video here that just shows all the Overkill. Okay. And then here he is in G.I. Joe Sigma 6. We can see him.
I'm watching synchronized.
Anyway.
Hell yeah.
He's underwater again. So you know what? I'm going to say yes.
Who are these girls? Oh my God. And they're doing a moonwalk.
All right. Listen, I'm through it. stop it. So Gina, I do believe you're right. He is organic. So I guess that does make sense. Why else would he be underwater if he wasn't part organic?
Exactly.
It's a good point. Chan, you made a great point there. I agree with you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I'm glad I got the acknowledgement I deserve.
It still doesn't really explain how any of this works, but we'll just keep going.
No, this is sheer nonsense.
I think it's like a chip that turns all organic material inorganic or some shit.
No, absolutely not.
But that's what he's going to use it for. But that's not, I'll get into that in a sec. He's going to go to this biodome where they house all the biochips.
Is Pauly Shore there?
He's
going
to steal all the biochips. That's his jam.
Is Pauly Shore there or Brendan Fraser?
Yes. Brendan Fraser is assuredly there as the Encino Man, oddly
Brendan
enough.
Fraser plays the dog robot.
Whose name is Hound. How about that? Not a great name.
I'm still mad about this other dog erasure, robot dog erasure.
So Spirit decides
that dog was fucking weird. But want nothing to do with it.
This is that dog, though. The weird one. Not the cool one from the first season.
No, I prefer the cool one from the first season. That's the one that Chan is now calling weird.
Yes.
That's not the one that peed on the freaking wires.
Magic juice down the robot's throat.
Okay, that was weird. Okay, I take it all back. They're both weird.
Listen, you're telling me you don't want a robot dog who can chug?
Absolutely not.
No, he's going to steal my drinks.
Anybody else drinking my booze?
Thank you.
No, that's the dog that you give all the like crappy booze that people bring to your house as gifts to.
There is no crappy booze.
We need to have another party.
There's only not desperate enough.
See, I think we finally worked through all the beer people left from the last couple parties, so we're ready for the next one. I put that front and center. Spoiler alert, I put that front and center every time my kid has a party.
Yeah.
And y'all better drink it. Okay, so Spirit has convinced the team that, you know, he has this biochip. Maybe he wants more biochips, and there's only one place he can get them. Hi-Tech, you stay home at the base. I'm going to do this mission solo, even though you suited up. What a weirdo.
To be fair, like if my kid were like, you know, comes out in like a mech suit, I'm ready to go fight. I'm like, Jesus Christ, go back and play Nintendo. I'm not having you come along on this dangerous ass mission.
But Hi-Tech is competent. He just proved it in the field, even. Like, I know he's normally the guy behind the keyboard leading the mission from the computer bridge, but like, he's a respected member. He should be, at least. He's a respected member of the team, even though he's a little bit of a weirdo. He's not, to Gina's point, he's not Tunnel Rat. There's areas. Okay, so we're at the biodome, and there's areas for all the life. And they have, like all the different, like, endangered, you know, the the Everglades and the rainforests and all that stuff. And so they have biochips. And near as I could tell, all the biochip does is, like, moderate the temperature. It's an AC unit. Doesn't really do more than that, near as I could tell.
Listen, my AC unit is the most important thing in my life. So
we discussed this because your wiring is terrible in your house, Ray.
No, I got it all fixed. It's good now.
Oh, you put a biochip in there?
I put a biochip in there, and now bleep bloop bleep 1010.
There you go, man.
I'm trying to understand what the biochips do in general, because it seems like this episode posits a world where they do three vastly different things, and we just go with it.
They allow all organic plant life to combine their bioenergy with a computer control interface. The connection essentially puts biology and technology together.
That is sheer nonsense.
Yeah, first of all, that sounded like the nerdy scientist from The Simpsons talking.
Professor Frink.
There you go.
Not nearly. But there's nothing wrong with technobabble. I mean, Star Trek would be nothing without it.
Sure.
But also, like, why do you need plant life? And how does that make things faster or better? And how does that mean that now you can plug a human brain into a robot and work better?
Yeah, Spirit hates it. He listens to the entire pitch and he's like, okay, no, thank you for telling me that. This is an abomination to the Lord.
Yeah.
He's, my ancestors weep.
Straight up.
This entire facility is like Cobra.
And that's a bit much. That's like, you know, like going in like, you all Republicans are terrorists. You're just as bad as Osama bin Laden.
Oh boy,
that's a kind of a leap, you know.
Gina, who's going to tell him?
I mean, look. Once the RNC convention ends with them flying some planes into a skyscraper, then I'll be like, you know what? Yeah, that's
at CPAC. They literally had the phrase, "We are all domestic terrorists."
For reals?
Yeah, for reals, for reals. You can look that one up.
Oh boy. All right.
I'm just saying, when you self-identify.
This is why I got out of comedy, because every time I try and do something satirical, oh my God, I'm going to exaggerate way over the top and like make these people look silly. And then the next day they say that exact same thing with a straight face. I'm like, well, I can't do anything. I cannot compete with reality. I got to stop.
Yeah. Great job, everybody. There we go. Because Gina likes the Twitter link so much, I'll send one over.
Oh God. Hold on. Is it an Olympic sport?
Do you consider CPAC to be an Olympic sport?
I have
depends
a CPAP,
on how you do it,
which is
a CPAP machine.
You still use
it? You nailed it.
What do you think? I've gotten less apnea-ish.
Well, I was going to say, do you think it just goes away?
I mean, there are apparently things that you can do to make it better.
Yeah, lose 100 pounds.
Yeah, I could do that. I could have them cut open my skull and jam some thing in there, thus becoming basically overkill, some sort of cyborg monstrosity.
Yeah, I was going to say that sounds like a must to me at this point. Why would you not? Anyway, so the question I have here, and I kind of said it earlier, but does Spirit hate air conditioning units as well? Does he have a blood feud with HVACs?
Honestly, I bet he does.
Maybe he does.
Freon doesn't make the environment better, and he's surely being like, I'm not going to hang out in this cold ass room.
It is 90 degrees outside. It is 78 in here. My ancestors weep. I just think that's the wrong tack for Spirit. I don't like it.
I mean, for the purposes of this episode's story, I see why they did it, but it doesn't really ring true to the character as we've seen him portrayed anywhere, including this very series. So,
yes. I mean, doing a science versus nature episode is very fun. There's a lot of juice there. You can make that happen. 100%.
Juice.
What? Do we need to get you a juice box, Gina?
Oh, no. Gina's hangry again. She's devolving before our eyes.
Oh, boy. This never ends well.
Chan, we already talked about this, and we agreed that when Gina devolves into a three-year-old, you're the one taking her in.
I never should have played rock, paper, scissors with you. You cheat.
Hey. Paper always beats rock. Thank you.
Good old rock. Nothing beats rock.
I knew you'd Bart Simpson it. multiple Simpsons references. Let's do this. So
this is like a double back.
They bring a Overkill brings a giant truck to the biodome's back door, and then the truck just turns into him. I was very unclear what was happening here. Was it a hologram? Is he a transformer now?
I assumed it was a hologram, but Jesus Christ, wouldn't that be dope if he were a transformer?
I don't know. Because it's not very well animated.
There was a big flash of light, so I'm going to go with hologram.
A big flash of light. All of a sudden, we go from a giant truck to just like him in a robot body. And he's like, ha ha ha, I'm in. All right. Let's do this. And he says, I'm here to take all the chips. Give me all your biochips, he says, kicking in the back door. And okay.
So to make a giant robot army. That's what they always want.
He's now a big robot. He should just retire to the Cayman Islands. So I would do.
Here's the thing. I think me and all my introvert friends can agree that if we could build an army of friends, we would definitely do that, even if the choice were like to become super awesome yourself. Wouldn't you rather just have a bunch of friends? I would.
No.
No. No.
I want to be left alone.
You guys aren't my friends?
I'm not even introverted, and that sounds terrible.
Wait. Can I use them for sex?
I mean...
Are they sex robots?
They do pegging. We have established that.
I mean, if you have any indigenous blood in you, we'll have to talk about it. And I hope you don't pull that, I'm 1/32nd Cherokee. Because that would not be great.
I'm on board for making an army of sex robots.
Okay. Well, there we go then.
So that's what he wants? He wants these chips to make sex robots? Okay, now I understand this episode a lot better.
See, that's why you need me here to help explain some of the more difficult parts of these episodes.
So much I want to say, and I'm going to refuse. And just get right to the point where Overkill fights Spirit. Here we go. But Overkill is in a robot mecha suit, and Spirit is just a dude. So Overkill just dominates him, just absolutely whoops him out, throws him into another room. And Spirit's laying there. He's like, all right, I can't hang with this guy. High tech, I can't believe I'm saying this. Go get your goddamn super suit. Go get your robot suit and kick this boy's ass. So We find out that the Mantis and the robot have been merged, so we got super robots. What Overkill wants to do. Now, we've seen the biochips used to fuse his cyborg body into a bigger robot, right? And we've also seen it handle climate in a dome environment. Those are the two things we've seen the biochip do. And what Overkill wants to do with the chips is spread them across the world, the entire world, with like, I don't know, 30 chips. And this will turn everything into inorganic material. And he's going to get a Borg universe. Is that right? Like deserts become like paved metal. And skyscrapers become cyberpunk metal buildings. And he's going to do that with like the handful of chips from this lab.
Here's the thing. That's not my takeaway from this. But also, I can't say that that isn't actually what happened. And I just, my eyes glazed over because it made no GD sense.
Yeah, I tried to really pay attention for this part and I was struggling. I will say that. And I can't understand things normally, but when I really try, usually I could piece out pieces. But then I get something like this and I go, this is why I don't bother paying attention. Okay. High Tech says, Hound, my robot dog, I need you to get to the lab. We're going to overload Overkill. We're going to surge him, and that's how we're going to beat him. And we're like, cool. So now High Tech is going to fight. He's going to fight Overkill and his fighting robot. And Overkill's like, I got a special move for you. It's called the Overkill Vortex. I'm going to create a tiny black hole right here in the lab and slap you with it.
Totally
normal. That's wild.
Totally, totally legit.
Viable.
Science.
And he does. He totally wrecks High Tech and his robot with it. And High Tech just wakes up saying, how did I survive? And I'm like, bitch, I want to know too. You got hit with a mini black hole.
And what was it that the black hole actually did to you then? It like, see, because a black hole, I guess if you were able to create one, yeah, would suck you in and crush you down to a singularity. Right? Got correct. That. To High Tech, it broke his robot a little bit.
A little bit.
And he blacked out.
Yeah, he hit his head.
That's the black hole part of it. Blacked his hole. And then he woke up. And then Spirit takes over the robot. So clearly the robot wasn't that damaged.
No, robot was fine, apparently. Also, he comes to the conclusion that Hound must have been hacked.
Uh-huh.
I guess the theory
is
Hound overloaded, so the black hole didn't take full effect.
So,
maybe I give him that credit. Maybe that's what we did here. But they say, let's also overload him again. Uh-huh. Spirit, get in that robot suit and use my fighting robot technology to win this day.
Cool.
And he does. He says, I know what I've been saying this entire episode with a lot of ferocity. Now I'm going to get in the fighting robot.
Well, he has to learn his lesson.
I guess.
We need to.
This wouldn't have happened with that original dog robot, is all I'm saying.
You're right. And that he had to learn his lesson, which is have no scruples or morals or point of view. Spirit. My goodness gracious. Yeah. I did like. Okay. So. Oh, okay. So Overkill changed all the codes in the system, meaning he can't be overloaded again. Because he changed the codes. Now, I don't know how High Tech knew the codes walking in the door.
He's a smart hackery kind of fellow.
I guess the biolab was a neutral territory. I don't know. But he can no more overloading. Thank you. No more. We're not doing this anymore.
Nope.
But Spirit.
Legal.
Spirit's in a fighting robot now. And robot. He's going to use the power of the spirits.
The power of nature.
And yeah. The power of the trees and the grass itself.
The forces of nature will help me and guide me. Overkill. I call the wind, the water, and the earth. Billy, no.
At this point, I should note, if you have not watched this or will never watch it, as you probably correct, the bird is pressing buttons on the keyboard.
Yes, he is.
He's goddamn hacker or some shit.
That bird's always been smart, though.
Enough to pilot a robot with keyboards?
Yeah, haven't we seen him like do other shit like this before where he was just like saving the day?
He's like carried messages and shit or like bit somebody,
I think we saw him doing computer stuff.
I think he's freaking programming Python. Jesus.
He's programming Python. What I really, and the part that I thought you were about to go with, Chan, is Spirit has these very strong beliefs that nature is much better than technology, right? Yeah. That's his whole POV, right? Yep. Technology bad, nature good.
Yep.
Take a close look at Billy.
Yeah.
Billy's part robotic.
I mean, honestly, it's probably some sort of like it's like attached with like a little like rubber band or something. Or I mean, I don't want
to call cyborg optics or something on his head.
Yeah, no, like goggles. You know, just like a strap on is what I'm saying.
Oh boy,
I don't think that could be misconstrued in any way. He's got a strap on and he
rides
on Spirit's back.
Yes. Yeah. He's walking around with a bird that has cybernetics installed into it, spouting about how nature and technology can't get along, but he did it to his own bird.
Yeah.
That's the part that really upset me about this episode. You hypocritical asshole. And I love Spirit. Spirit, one of my, I didn't enjoy Spirit as much, you know, when I was younger, because there was just so many other more colorful Joes, with just wild and crazy backstories and personalities, and Spirit was a little more subdued, so he didn't really hit my list. But rewatching it for this show, Spirit became one of my favorite characters. He's a blast, especially when he's fighting Storm Shadow. Super cool. Here, they try to give him this grounded personality, but the problem is the optics around him don't work with that story.
No.
Anyway, Billy does in fact become, what's that blue elephant looking guy in Jabba's cantina band?
Max Rebo?
Yeah, he becomes Max Rebo on the keys because he's got a circular keyboard and he's just poking them all with his beak. Okay, it's amazing. At this point, the vortex has been not only disrupted, I don't know how, but reversed.
It's in Overkill.
In Overkill, yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't turned off or anything. It just, he fell in instead.
Yeah.
Much like
he gets hit by it. And his giant robot that he got imbued with was destroyed. So he gets out still wearing his new normal body, which is the upgraded normal body, because he did two upgrades in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
He gets out in his normal new robotic superstar body and just walks away. Runs away, really. And yeah. And it ends with, and Gina, how do you feel about this? How do you feel about this ending?
My money's on the bird, I think, as opposed to the robot dog.
Because of the power of wind and nature and like a floating acorn, earth, I guess. It was unclear
fire.
What the fuck that was supposed to be.
The trees tell me.
No, because I always bet against the chess computer and I bet on the organic.
Oh, I see.
Doesn't the chess computer win 100% of the time now, though?
No.
No?
Are you just saying that because your brother is a chess teacher and you need to protect his gig?
No, when Deep Blue played Kasparov, they like
that
you
was
know,
20 years ago, Gina.
Yeah, but there wasn't a reason to design a better computer after that. It's not like scientists are like, help, we have to design a perfect computer to play chess.
According to Wikipedia, chess programs just running on commercial hardware, including mobile phones, are now able to defeat even the strongest human players consistently.
I mean, able to, but you said don't they win 100% of the time? That's not the same thing.
I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, look, the last time Ray. This was a thing and it was competitive was 2006.
Ray, Gina's in the pocket of big chess.
Okay. I mean, that's, we know this.
But
we
by
know the
all
Ippolito
means,
name is the chess mafia. We know.
By all means, continue to mansplain how chess works to me, Ray.
But they have, according to, I'm just reading straight off of Wikipedia right now, but humans stopped playing chess computers back in 2006. They don't play them anymore because I guess they'd play them occasionally, but not like they used to. It's every once in a blue moon now because the computers keep just dominating.
I'm enjoying this and stepping back, letting you dig your own hole here, man.
Am I going to wake up with a knight's head in my bed tomorrow morning? Probably.
Listen, you're the one who said no one wants to hear about really entertaining Olympic footage where people moonwalk underwater. Now you're reading from a chess Wikipedia page. What happened?
Gina, I would figure this would be the one part of the episode you'd tune up for.
I mean, I literally said I'm rooting for the bird. And then you started
fair
being
enough.
Stupid.
I think the dog would win. I'll just put it. Although this is 2004, I'm still going to go with the dog.
That friggin' dog can go to hell.
It's not original. It's not OG dog. It's true. It's not weird.
That
I drink
other
slime
dog can go to double hell.
I think Hound's a little bit cute. I'll say it. I think Hound is a little bit cute. That little face on that weird bleep bleep robot.
Chan does too. He's the one designing sex bots for his island.
If that robot showed up delivering a pizza, you think he was cute enough to like invite him in and maybe offer to pay for the pizza with sex?
The dog robot specifically?
Yeah.
I feel like there. Listen, you're allowed to fuck whatever robot you want, but once it's a robot animal, I feel like there are some bestiality laws involved.
Ooh, okay. Hadn't considered that angle.
That's why I'm here.
I mean, I.
Well, now I got to ponder the ethics of having sex with a robot dog.
They do make inflatable sheep.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
No,
I mean, that's been a product for a long time.
Hmm. Okay.
But then you buy it for your friend as a gag gift, and then you come by like, 3-4 years later, and you happen to notice he still has it.
Can you fuck a chess robot? Is that because they can beat humans, so obviously they have a level of maturity that you can say they're like, okay, he has autonomy. And so it's like having sex with an adult.
King me. King me. King me.
That is not chess.
That's chess, isn't it?
Are we done?
I hope so. Jesus.
Hey, before we get out of here, and that is the end of the episode, they play chess. We are not told the winner, but High Tech is fascinated by what he's seeing. Which is great to me. Good job, everybody involved. If you didn't know, episode 7 of Reclaim Detroit came out. So go check that out wherever you podcast. VampireDetroit.com.
Not familiar with whatever this is.
No, intentionally, we Men in Black blast Gina's brain every time I mention it. She still lives in a world where she does not know I have made a vampire audio drama.
I mean, this explains a lot, to be honest.
Well, sorry, Gina. If you listen to the show, there would be no defense for that. But we've taken our chances with that.
This show? I'm the only one that ever listens to this show.
Oh, man.
She's not wrong.
You must have missed those episodes. Thank God, because you only listen to episodes that are 6 years old. And then you talk about how young and vibrant we all sound.
You guys were never young and vibrant.
How dare you? I... Shit.
Don't take a man, heavy duty on the scene. Snake eyes, hand to hand, long range, lean and mean. Scarlet, ready to fight.
Turn on red, ignite.
Wherever Cobra strikes, wherever they attack, G.I. Joe will fight, there's no turning back.
Yo, Joe!
G.I. Joe is there.
Sigma 6!